Hello, this is your Polycast for Friday, November 20th, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, Mayor Betsy Hodges faces heat over that Minneapolis police shooting, and United Health may abandon health care exchanges. Congressman Keith Ellison and at least one Minneapolis City Council member are asking state investigators to release video that may shed light on the death of Jamar Clark. A police officer shot and killed the 24-year-old African-American man early Sunday, prompting major protests in Minneapolis. Meanwhile, Mayor Betsy Hodges visited with demonstrators last night outside the North Minneapolis police station, where they've been camping for nearly a week. As Matt Sepik reports, the mayor, who ran on a platform of racial equity, did not receive a warm welcome.
With temperatures falling and a gusty wind beating at the sides of their tents, Black Lives Matter demonstrators outside the 4th Precinct Police Headquarters sipped hot drinks, huddled around campfires, and settled in for their fifth night outside. Late Wednesday, several of them visited the South Minneapolis home of Mayor Betsy Hodges. She wasn't there, so last night the mayor came to them. One protester told Hodges he felt terrorized by police.
We as the people want to know, what are you going to do?
Do you want to know what I've been working on?
No. What are you going to do?
What are you going
Answer
to do?
Answer the question that has been asked to you.
See all this rhetoric? That's what I'm talking about. She works for them now.
Wait, you voted her in.
What are you?
What I'm going to do is what I have been doing.
Okay.
Gathering resources in the city.
Hodges is a bit hard to hear, but she says she's gathering resources from around the city and country to help resolve long-standing issues of racial inequity. Protesters weren't satisfied with that answer.
Nice photo op, Betsy.
This is not real.
Shame on you, Betsy Hodges!
Black Lives Matter is demanding the Minnesota Bureau of Criminal Apprehension release video of the shooting. Hodges has not echoed that call, but City Councilmember Alondra Cano says that footage should be made public. So does Congressman Keith Ellison, a Minneapolis Democrat.
I'm in favor of transparency and disclosure. You know, I think it's the right thing to do. I also understand they're trying to conduct an investigation. But I do believe in transparency. I think the greater weight should fall on the side of transparency.
Ellison urged protesters to focus their message on, in his words, getting justice for Jamar Clark and not let their emotions boil over. At a news conference yesterday afternoon, Police Chief Janae Harto said things did boil over. Some protesters threw Molotov cocktails, bottles, and bricks at officers and sprayed chemical irritants at them late Wednesday night. Harto said demonstrators did thousands of dollars in damage to the police station, squad cars, and portable cameras.
We believe we were dealing with anarchists based on the flag that we saw. We believe people from outside of our community are coming in to perpetrate violence. And as you know, we have a history of helping to facilitate peaceful demonstrations. We've done it over the past several months and the past several years.
Police Union President and MPD Lieutenant Bob Kroll says the situation at the 4th Precinct has gotten out of hand. He says officers are so busy guarding their workplace that police from elsewhere in the city have had to handle routine calls for them. Kroll says the fact that protesters were allowed to pitch tents in the first place shows a lack of leadership in the city. He says the camp should be cleared out immediately.
If they want to exercise their First Amendment rights, there's places to do that other than a Minneapolis precinct. The officers are going in and out of that station under guards. The gates are locked.
Speaking to reporters, Kroll also revealed more details about the shooting of Jamar Clark. Contrary to witness accounts, Kroll says Clark was never handcuffed, and while the BCA says no weapons were found at the scene, Kroll says Clark spun one officer's belt around and grabbed the hand grip of his holstered gun.
Mr. Clark was indeed armed, as he had manual control of an officer's firearm. This event should have been a peaceful encounter. It was the actions and choices of Mr. Clark alone that determined its outcome.
Kroll would not say whether it was Officer Mark Ringenberg or Officer Dustin Schwarzy who fired the fatal shot. With reporting from Reham Fashir, I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News, Minneapolis.
United Health Group says it may abandon the Affordable Care Act's health insurance exchanges because the company is losing money on them. The Minnetonka-based insurer cut its profit forecast for this year and next by hundreds of millions of dollars, sending the share price down nearly 6% yesterday. Mark Zadeklik has more.
During a call with analysts, UnitedHealth CEO Stephen Hemsley said the insurance giant's exchange business is not sustainable and that there are no signs that will change. Among the problems, Hemsley says not enough healthy people are buying coverage through government exchanges, and the people that are purchasing plans are using more health care than anticipated.
The combination of these factors suggests the overall exchange market profile is more negative than we had planned, with new market enrollment growth developing more slowly.
Hemsley says UnitedHealth's exchange products are on track to slash as much as a combined $575 million from the company's earnings this year and next. The announcement marks a stunning reversal for a company with a reputation as one of the most sophisticated insurers. Only a month ago, UnitedHealth talked optimistically about the exchange business becoming a strong, viable growth market. Not anymore. Now Hemsley says UnitedHealth is trying to slow down exchange signups.
We have taken several immediate actions to reduce our exposure in this segment, including suspending marketing and reducing or eliminating commissions in most markets.
Hemsley says the company did not expect as many people to enroll in coverage outside of the year-end open enrollment periods. Only people with qualifying life events, such as a divorce or job loss, are allowed to do so, but the company says those who do consume significantly more health services than the rest. Although UnitedHealth is the nation's largest health insurer by revenue, it is a relatively small player on the government health plan marketplaces. UnitedHealth largely sat out the first year. Now, executives say they probably should have stayed away this year and next. Hemsley says the company is taking a hard line about the future and refusing to subsidize a market that is not sustaining itself.
We are evaluating the viability of the insurance exchange product category for us and will determine during the first half of 2016 the extent to which we can continue to serve the public exchange markets in 2017.
Thrivent asset management analyst David Heupel says investors never welcome a projected drop in earnings, but exchanges are only a small portion of UnitedHealth's portfolio. He says investors would likely cheer if the company abandoned exchanges altogether. Heupel says what may be more significant than UnitedHealth's loss is the judgment that being on exchanges is a losing proposition with no sign of sustainability in sight.
The kind of announcement we just got out of UnitedHealthcare, I think, is very interesting in the fact that it could shape how this product will develop over the next several years, and certainly highlights the fact that I think some things need to change for the viability of this of these exchanges to really continue.
University of Minnesota health policy and management professor Gene Abraham says UnitedHealth's frank assessment of doing business on public exchanges will attract policymakers' attention.
A very important national insurer in the United States has now publicly stated that they're very concerned about the long-term feasibility of their participation on the exchanges.
Abraham says that could spur policymakers to take a hard look at what could be done to make exchanges more viable. But UnitedHealth's judgment also gives the Affordable Care Act's many critics more ammunition in their effort to scuttle it. As for UnitedHealth's bottom line, Morningstar analyst Vishnu Lakhraj says UnitedHealth is still a very strong business.
They were very prudent and I thought very cautious with their strategy, which should help them down the road if there were to be some very unfavorable developments here with the public exchanges.
UnitedHealth Group will likely offer more insight at an investor conference in early December when it will roll out detailed projections for 2016. Mark Zadeklik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Minnesota House Republicans threw cold water on a proposed special session, saying DFL Governor Mark Dayton's plan to help laid-off steelworkers doesn't go far enough. Tim Pugmire reports.
GOP House Speaker Kurt Dowd did not rule out a special session, but he said the governor's plan to extend unemployment benefits is only a short-term band-aid. Dowd said he wants long-term job solutions for the region, such as the PolyMet mine and Sandpiper pipeline. He said he wants assurances that Dayton won't delay either project.
We want to make sure that the jobs in the range are long-term and sustainable. And frankly, what these folks really want isn't extended unemployment benefits. They want their job back. So we want to figure out how to do that.
Dowd said a fix for real ID could be discussed in a special session if it occurs, but he's unsure about the Senate DFL plan to address economic disparities. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Yesterday was the 152nd anniversary of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And each year since 1938, the Lincoln Fellowship of Pennsylvania has commemorated the address and rededicated the Soldiers National Cemetery where Lincoln spoke. The commemoration includes a keynote address. Yesterday it was delivered by Garrison Keillor. He ended his speech with these words.
The last living veteran of the battle was a man named Albert Wolfson of Duluth, Minnesota, who died in 1956 at the age of 109, and who in my childhood was still riding around in parades in Minneapolis, the Aquitennial, and Armistice Day, as it was then called. I saw him in a Memorial Day parade in Minneapolis when I was 12 years old. There's a monument to him now up here in the park somewhere. I am well on my way towards being the last person who remembers seeing Albert Wolfson in a parade. And that may be my greatest distinction someday. When I am 109, I will be telling people all about how he looked and will not feel bound by the facts at all. As I say, the violence of the battle at its peak is beyond our imagination, but we are awestruck every time we come to Gettysburg. We are awestruck by the memory of what happened here. Government of the people, by the people, for the people is still a struggle. It was never resolved and never will be, especially the by and the for part will always be a problem for us to work together on, but we can never, ever forget what happened at Gettysburg. God bless their memory.
Garrison Keillor delivering the Dedication Day keynote address yesterday during a ceremony at Gettysburg National Military Park in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. It was the 152nd anniversary of Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And that's your Polycast for this week, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom. Have a great weekend, and I'll see you again here next week.